Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, welcoming you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be with you here on this beautiful Tuesday evening, mid-March, as we approach the end of the first quarter 2016. Remember, it was just yesterday. That was December 31st, January 1st, and we were entering into 2016 where we're almost one quarter down in the 2016. I have some great content for you this evening. I want to thank my good friend and exceptional speaker, entrepreneur, success coach, mompreneur, multipreneur, that would be Don Ferrantino, for exceptional call last week. You're going to see Don speak at many events with me in 2016 and 17. So I want to welcome you to tonight's call. This Saturday, March 19th, I have the distinct privilege of hosting Mr. Joe Dispenza. Dr. Joe Dispenza is a world-class entrepreneur, exceptional speaker on quantum physics, brain chemistry, how to change your brain, the author of four highly inspiring books. If you do not have this book, unequivocally download it tonight. Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, Dr. Joe, J-O-E-D-I-S-P-E-N-Z-I-A. Dr. Joe does not do public conferences anymore. He only does his own private events. This will be the last public conference that he is doing. That is my understanding anyway, at least for present. It took me 18 months to book Dr. Joe with Alexis Romano and myself this Saturday in Newark, New Jersey. There is still plenty of room. We have seats for about 600 seats, and we're presently well into the 400s for tickets. So if you have a team and want to put a last-minute push on, we definitely have great seats. It's not going to be, it's going to be still going to have a level of intimacy, and I look forward to sharing this gift with you. I've had the opportunity to book Dr. Joe on three different occasions going back to 2006, 7, and 8, so it's been a long time since I've shared the stage with Dr. Joe Dispenza. Next Saturday, March 26th, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts. That's going to be a fabulous event. It's going to be a small room, about 100 people. It's going to be fantastic. April 2nd, Cleveland, Ohio. April 9th, Chicago. April 16th, Bozeman, Montana. That is unequivocally sky country. I want to thank Nicola Stotter, who has already maxed out the room, as she promised she would. Nicola definitely can deliver. That will be Saturday, April 16th. Where is Bozeman? It is in beautiful western Montana. St. Louis, Missouri, for the second time in 2 years. That is April 23rd, my home away from home. April 30th, Norwalk. May 14th, Long Island. May 21st, Philadelphia with Mr. Joe DiBianca. June 4th, Atlanta, Georgia. And June 18th, I want to thank Chrissy Napolitano for hosting me in White Plains, New York. Also back in April, let's see, where am we? Long Island, Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz have hosted that event for going on 2 years now. So that'll be an awesome opportunity. Don Ferrantino will be speaking at some of these events with me for those of you who capitalized on Don's content last week. So I want to let you know how honored I am to be on tonight's call with you. So for all of you on tonight's call, I have some great content for you. So on tonight's call, I'm going to cover closing mastery. For those of you who are not skilled at the art of closing, this call is specifically for you. Closing is an attitude. Closing is a mindset. But first, let's take a look at what closing really is. Closing in any situation is finishing. And if you're a starter and not a finisher, then there's a high probability that you will have challenges creating, closing, attracting, and developing transactions. Transactions are when the money moves. And to be a closer, you must have the identity of a closer. You must be able to embrace what closing is and also not only embrace it, but learn how to master the art of asking. Many of you have heard me say this over and over, asking the questions in a sequence. Well, for the last 2 weeks, I have been conducting live dials, a live prospecting clinic. That clinic is still available and open to you because I do record every call. You can go directly to my website, www.goldenmastermind.com, and you can still capitalize on this 4-week prospecting clinic. And in this clinic, I cover not only how to close the sale, but how to set the sale. A closer is not only a finisher, a closer is a great starter. When it comes to the art of closing, you close early and often by asking trial closing questions. How serious are you about changing the quality of your health? How serious are you about changing the quality of your life? How serious are you about leaving your job? How serious are you about quitting your job? How serious are you about creating additional stream of income? That's a question that's asked early in a conversation. It's the serious question. You are looking for this answer. I am real serious. Present tense stated right there, right now. When someone goes, well, they check out, they're going to give you a qualified story. A closer can read through a qualified story. A storyteller tells a story. Someone who's decisive, committed, and does not have commitment issues, but is commitment conscious. Now, there's commitment conscious, and there's commitment phobic. A large percent of society that you will encounter is commitment phobic. And when you encounter someone like this, you learn not to take it personal. You don't listen to a long, drawn-out story. A closer is very skilled at diplomatically interrupting a conversation by using a first name once or twice to grab attention, refocusing the prospect or person you're communicating with back on the topic that you ask. A large percent of the population forgets the question you ask them because they are checked out. I love saying that. Checked out. Put inflection on it. Checked out. A large percent of the population is checked out, and they're checked out checking out. What does checked out mean? It means they're in their analytical, egoic mind, left brain thinking process, and getting ready to get ready, telling stories, not being clear, and not really understanding where they are going in life. And the more you understand what closing is, the better you will become at closing. If you're learning how to close, then you want to learn closing mastery. How do you close? Early and often. And if you're not a closer, it's usually a direct reflection of your uncomfortability with asking questions, your uncomfortability with confrontation. Now, confrontation is a skill. You have to overcome your anxiety about confrontation, and then specifically change your perception of confrontation. When you confront an objection, you're not specifically confronting the person. It's not personal, and you're not there to get in an argument with someone. You want to be able to confront an issue. You confront an issue by asking a question. You want to let go of your anxiety about confrontation. If you walk around society saying that I don't like confrontation, I'm not comfortable with confrontation, that would be understandable. The kind of confrontation that you went through as a child is not the kind of confrontation that I'm discussing here on tonight's call. If you've been confronted on a job, it's not the same situation as confronting someone about a business opportunity, a product, a service, a benefit, and a feature. You're going to confront very diplomatically by asking a series of questions. A skilled closer confronts an issue by asking a question about an outcome. Oftentimes by questioning an answer, a statement, or an objection without doing it to personalize it, make someone wrong, prove them wrong, or get your point across. When you are really skilled at the art of closing, it is mastery. When you are skilled at closing, not only are you in command of your emotions, but you've mastered your emotions, meaning you're not in fight or flight, overwhelmed, in anxiety, telling yourself stories about being abandoned, neglected, rejected, or any multitude of anxieties that will lead to fight or flight. Become skilled at asking and skilled at closing is to let go of your anxiety about past events that have become your identity. If rejection is a challenge for you and you have a story about rejection, then there's a high probability it will show up in your business ventures. And then your left brain will create a statement that I don't like rejection. Now, the contradiction in that doesn't mean you like rejection. It means you reframe, change your identity, let go of your anxiety about what rejection is and isn't. I hear many people say, I'm going for no. I don't teach that. You're not going for no. That's not what you're looking for. You're qualifying a lead for your time. You're qualifying a potential business partner to see if they have a problem you can resolve. If the potential business partner, your prospect, significant other, whoever you're conversing with, friend, homie, someone in your circle of influence, they don't perceive that they have a problem you can resolve, they typically don't reject you. They are not interested. You would have to let go of the not interested sector of society without trying to convince them. Now, you're going to also hear a lot of wives' tales. One of the most common wives' tales I hear, and I know, you hear it at many company events, functions, rallies, conventions, from multiple sales organizations, the fortunes in the follow-up. There's merit to the statement. However, the fortune's not in the follow-up, the fortune's in the close. You can follow up all day long and not receive a close. Closing is closing. Closing is finishing. Closing is completement. Closing is a decision. Now, let me break this down for you. I see many people follow up with people they're attached to. Now, I will follow up occasionally with people, but I'm very, very skilled and skilled at teaching this, so you become skilled at the skill I'm skilled at, closing. I am a closer, a master at it, and you too can become a master at it by talking less and asking more. And most of you tend to overcomplicate the closing process. I recently said to someone recently who said to me that in the closing conversation, they gave the person they gave them the pay plan video. And I said, no, don't do that. Don't offer the pay plan video until someone's in the business. You'll overcomplicate the process. When you overtalk, overstate, complicate someone, and even if they do get started in the business, they're going to do exactly what you do. You want to be as simple, stripped down, effective, and efficient as you can in the well-oiled precision of closing. Closing is mastery. You can close in one or two conversations when you are really skilled at it. Case in point, I tend to, in network marketing and direct sales, interview someone for 3 to 8 minutes. In the first 15 to 30 seconds, I can typically tell whether this is someone that I want to spend any time with. How? Because I'm able to read intuitively. I'm able to intuit after a lot of repetition and experience, a lot of practice, and I don't have preconceived notions about what is required to close. I love closing because closing represents completion. Closing represents the end of an era. Closing also represents the beginning, because when you close a transaction, it often means the relationship begins. And as you begin to form relationships and develop a culture, this is when you can create some of your longest-lasting relationships in your life through some of the people that you've sponsored into a business, exposed to a business, closed, whatever it is you've done, but they can become part of your team, your tribe, your culture, whatever it is you want to call it. But you have to overcome your anxiety about the outcome before you start. But if you have a lot of noise in your head, you tell yourself a lot of stories, like you don't want to be rejected, you don't want to offend someone. What are my friends going to think? I love to break this down. Well, who are your friends? Let's do this. Consider the source. I'll tell you who your friends are. Most of your friends live in a place called liability debt. Most of your friends have no assets. Most of your friends have a mortgage that they can't afford. They bought the house. They can afford the house payment, but they can't really afford the house. They have the house payment, but they can't afford the house. They're upside down financially in their house, meaning they have a lot of liability debt. They also have school loan debt, or they're paying school loan debt on their children. They have credit card debt, which is unsecured. Most of them have a MasterCard that creeps up to about 28%. They spend most of their money on taxes and interest. Those are your friends that you have anxiety about the outcome. You'd have to let go. Even if you know someone who has a multiple six-figure, there's an extreme high probability that the person that you know that makes multiple six figures, once again, is in liability debt, credit card debt, and school loan debt. That means that you have a solution. But if you have anxiety about yourself, and if you make the situation about you, if you have a story that says, I haven't made any money, so I can't approach those higher-ups, whatever higher-up means, higher-up. What does that even mean? Does that mean someone that's higher-up on the food chain? They're higher-up in the tree? They're higher-up in heaven? WTF, what does that even mean, higher-up? What it means is that you put yourself beneath people that you perceive to be prosperous who are actually financially challenged. And when you let go of your control, the anxiety about the outcome, then you can effectively ask the questions in a sequence about the outcome. What are the questions? How do I? Well, the questions are based on the answers that you receive. But in a very simple forum, you learn to ask a series of simple, common sense questions. What does common sense mean? Common sense means you get out of your head and you ask people this. What do you do for a career? How long have you been in that vocation? Is that a good career, vocation, job, or opportunity for you? You want to be able to ask that question because a high percent of the population is dissatisfied with their vocation. Once you establish they're dissatisfied, now you can begin the process of providing a solution. Closing is a sequence of questions that lead to an outcome that's favorable. You want to be able to use some kind of simple, practical application where your prospect, your potential customer, can view the business model without you having to explain it. Right before this call, I was speaking to a young man in Miami, Florida. He's in an antiquated business model where his company teaches this term, belly to belly. And it's one of those companies that has three letters, you know, the acronym, three-letter acronym. It's one of those companies that still uses old-style method that does not believe in social media, Zoom, Periscope, or any of the modern technologies where you can present effectively and efficiently around the United States, Canada, Australia, and the globe, meaning you can close a sale in one or two conversations at a price point that's conducive. You can market a benefit product and feature where someone can receive instant gratification, and you can do it easily and effortlessly from the comfort of your home. Now, doing home parties, launches, business presentations, private business receptions, PBRs, they're all still very effective, especially if you're using leverage more than one person. But typically what is not effective is driving across the state, driving across the city, being in rush hour traffic to go do a one-on-one presentation for someone who doesn't show up for it. You have just wasted a large percent of your day. But to be an effective closer, as I stated, you must be an effective finisher, but you must be also skilled at, number one, qualifying the lead for your time, scheduling an appointment with a show-up ratio that's conducive to creating a closed transaction. Then you must also, the third part of that equation, is be able to be effective at asking questions to finish off the transaction. And that means at the end of a transaction, you must feel comfortable with asking for the commitment. You're not asking for money, you're asking for a commitment. But if you're commitment phobic and you tell yourself a set of stories, then you'll have challenges asking for the order, asking for the commitment, asking for the decision. Once again, get this out of your head. You're not asking for money. The money that you typically think you would ask for doesn't even go into your wallet. It goes to an e-commerce site that goes to a company that redirects that money through their bank account that on any given Monday typically is released into your bank account on a debit card, and you don't ask for that to go on your debit card. You ask for a commitment. When you let go of the control that keeps you out of control, anxious, scared, overwhelmed, in fear, doubt, and unsure about what you get paid for, then you have the opportunity to learn the skills, the habits, the mindset, the reflexes of an exceptional closer. If you want to create spontaneous excellence, that means you have to let go of your stories and anxieties about the outcome, about what your friends think, about making a mistake, about getting in trouble, about offending someone, about not liking confrontation, and all the stories and wise tales you tell yourself to stay average and be disappointed. If you're a chronic avoider, and if you're someone who has good intentions but never getting around to prospecting, or if you dabble around on Facebook and social media and think that writing a post here or there and then magically, mythically, someone's going to show up in your inbox when you're unskilled and untalented, it ain't going to happen. What does that mean? It means that you're delusional. You're in denial. You get ready to get ready. You're not real. I mean, you have to get real. You have to understand what you get paid for. You get paid for showcasing your products, value, service, your value ladder to the populace. You want to be able to attract people and situations to your reality that foster change, goodness, reciprocity, and prosperity. When you feel good about who you are with the services that you are marketing, when you feel comfortable in free enterprise, when you're an entrepreneur and you understand what you get paid for, then you'll let go of your anxiety about the outcome. But if you worry, get overwhelmed, are in anxiety, fight or flight, or any of the neurological conditions that become your behavior, then you will send a telepathic mixed message while you secrete, release, stay overwhelmed, and a neurochemical response that keeps you disappointed and addicted to an outcome that is familiar. When you are no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your addictions, then you can enter recovery. When you recover from your anxiety about money, a large percent of the population is not comfortable with attracting people they can create money with. You don't attract money. I mean, you may be a magnet for it, but typically when you're building a business, you're not attracting money. You're attracting people you can collaborate with. You're looking for people who are finishers, producers, people who can commit and decide, people who are in some level of recovery where they're not emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keeps them disappointed and overwhelmed. I do not ever get overwhelmed, and I mean never. I seldom, if ever, get overwhelmed, number one, because I can't afford it. Why would I want to be overwhelmed? What value is that? What benefit and feature does being overwhelmed bring me? Nothing. So if it doesn't bring me a value, why would I go into it? The same would apply to you. What's the benefit, the feature, and the value of being overwhelmed for you? Nothing. Here's what it does for you. The payoff in being overwhelmed is it allows you to avoid the responsibility of succeeding. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that keep you addicted, no longer the mind-body connection to the events that keep you overwhelmed, then you are you and you are free. And when you are free, then you can be and stay present. When you're present, you're in a whole different level of reflexes. This is when you go to the restaurant and the parking space is available for you up front because you have changed your law of expectation. But when you expect to get rejected, when you expected to get overwhelmed, when you expected to get neglected and abandoned, when you expect to be disappointed, then you'll attract people and situations to fulfill your neurochemical feelings that keep you addicted. As you learn to let go of the anxiety about outcomes and you let go of your feelings about past events, then you no longer are the event. But if you continue to hold on to what you say you don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know what happened to me. My whole childhood is a blur. I have broken that statement down hundreds of times because I'll ask someone, where did you go to grade school? Who's your third grade teacher? Name one person in your class before the age of 9. And see, people will answer those questions, which actually means their whole childhood isn't a blur. It means that they live in a repressed state of subconscious unconscious in a subliminal equation that keeps them overwhelmed, disappointed, and in a state that says, I don't know. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why people show up and violate me. I don't know why I'm disappointed. I don't know why no one joins my team. I do, because that's your identity. When you begin to let go of the events that shape those feelings, now you can begin to change your language style, the way you communicate with yourself. If you have a critical advisor and a critical person you carry around with you in your pocket, and that person is you, and that person is really one of your passive-aggressive parents or someone in your circle of influence from past events, then you're the identity of that event. But when you're no longer that mind-body connection to those events, then you're able to separate yourself from the events that shaped your feelings. Now, when you are you and you are free, then you're not inhibited by a past event or anxiety about a future event, which means that you can be in the law of quantum physics, that you're no longer that event, that you're recreating a neurochemical state where your neurons wire and fire together based on a different set of feelings, love, joy, bliss, enlightenment, prosperity, reciprocity, and a whole different state of feelings called courage. Courage is a quality that never goes out of fashion. There's always a market for it. You must be able to have some pride and dignity about what you do, which allows you to transmit and transmute a whole different set of feelings that are based on present feelings, not past events, or future events, anxiety about the future that has not happened. When you're present, you're here, you're now, then you can ask the questions in a sequence. You can listen to what's heard and meant in the same sentence. You're able to ask a question based on the response that the person you're communicating with. You can move the dialogue along by taking a word in a sentence, package it into the new sentence that ends with the question, so you can ask the questions in a sequence about the outcome you seek. This skill is applicable in anything you do, business, life, booking an appointment, booking a booth in a restaurant, calling your accountant, calling your attorney, calling someone in your circle of influence. When you have a system to communicate that is effective, then you will be effective in your communication style. But when you're ineffective at communication, when you're checked out, overwhelmed, when you use ums and ahs, when you have gaps and delays in your communication style, when you have to go into your left brain because you check out, you're uncertain about what you're saying, you're afraid you're going to make a mistake, these are all based on past events that inhibit you from being able to create decisions and commitments. If the word commitment and decision is not in your vocabulary, then you're going to use words like try, need, hope, wish, like to, I don't know, I'm not sure, and I guess. A large percent of the American populace inserts the word guess in their sentence structure. You can't close when you're guessing. It just does not happen. And when you end a sentence with I don't know, you can't close because you just telegraphed where you are at the end of a sentence. When you check out and laugh when nothing's funny, and I ask people this all the time, is that funny? They go, no, it's not funny. Well, then why are you laughing? Well, I laugh a lot. Actually, it doesn't mean you laugh a lot. It means you're checked out a lot. Meaning that you'll laugh out of anxiety, not nervousness, it's a misnomer. You're laughing out of anxiety, checking out to an outer body experience based on a past event that has become familiar and or your identity. Once again, when you're present, when you are now, you can close. To be a closer, not only must you be a finisher, but you must be an exceptional listener, hearing what is meant, not only what is said. When someone says, well, this sounds good, I'll get back with you, what they just said is I won't ever be calling you back. You have to understand that. This is why you don't follow up with this type of person, because they are not serious. They're interested, they're not committed, and you have to be able to attract people who are commitment conscious, not commitment phobic. When you're communicating with people who are commitment phobic, they can't commit, and they'll telegraph their feelings by the words they use in their sentence structure. The more you understand how to effectively listen, the more you let go of the control that keeps you out of control, the better you become at hearing what's meant, not said, the more effective you will be at becoming a master closer. Closers close because they're finishers. Closers close because they're competitive. Closers close because closing is an identity. But if you can't identify with being a closer and you have anxiety about the outcome and you have a story that says, I'm not sure if I can, then that's what allows you to be right and stay disappointed. When you let go of your anxiety about the outcome, you're able to relax and be present, then you're able to ask a series of questions in the sequence. It goes like this. When you encounter someone on an airplane, it's as simple as this. How are you tonight? That's small talk. I'm good. Now, if the person doesn't give you any eye contact, any warmth, or show any energy, then you're done before you start. But if that person gives you any kind of body language, any kind of warmth, any kind of smile, that's an unconscious permission to be able to have a conversation. When you're able to have that kind of conversation and you're very relaxed in it, you'll be able to ask a series of questions to fact find, rapport build, and small talk, the three ways that we ask questions, small talk, fact-finding, and rapport building. Where are you traveling tonight? That's a closed-in question. That's not an open question. That's typically a one-word or two-word city response. I'm traveling to New York. I'm traveling to Kansas City. That's two words. I mean, that's about as much as you're going to get out of that. That's two words. That's a closed-in. What's taking you to New York, business or pleasure? I'm going on business. What do you do for a career? Now, you ought to be able to do this in a very diplomatic forum where you don't feel like you're coming across prying in people's affairs. You're not concerned about the outcome. You're having a good old-fashioned chat. Now, the way you would insert and find out if this person is a viable prospect or someone who might be able to benefit from your products, benefits, features, services, and or the dream you may be marketing is you can ask them what they do for a vocation. When they say, when they ask you the, when they state the vocation, the job, the career, then you can ask them, is that a good career for you? If they give you a not really, not ever, whatever it is, then you can ask them, have you ever considered owning your own business? Do you keep your options open for additional streams of income? Are you health conscious? This is when you can ask these questions, because you've actually set the sale up, you've actually set the person up to find out if there's a problem where you can provide a solution. When you become skilled at this, you can eventually ask this person for their phone number, or you can call them tomorrow. Don't sit there and explain the entire pay plan to someone on the airplane by asking the stewardess or the flight attendant for a napkin so you can draw it all out with your ink pen, and you'll end up overwhelming the people. I've seen people do this. I've seen them go into a 2 or 3 hour drunkalogue, and the person next to you is just dying to get away from you because you keep talking. And if you were someone who gets attached, typically you will think that that person is a prospect when they're really a suspect, and they will never get back with you. So when you learn to let go, and you become the person that's in command, and you're able to small talk, fact find, rapport build, then you become very skilled at this, the qualifying questions. What are the qualifying questions? What do you do for a career? How long have you been doing that? Is that a good vocation? Then you can insert any other interest-creating questions. Did you go to college? Did you graduate? What have you done for other careers? You can ask a series of questions to keep the conversation moving along. The conversation stalls oftentimes. When you lose track of what's going on, you get overwhelmed, you forget what you've asked, you get nervous, anxious, and overwhelmed about making mistakes, getting in trouble, being judged, being rejected, being abandoned. When you start to telegraph these feelings is when you start to have the gaps and delays in your communication style. As you begin to let go once again and you're not concerned about making the mistakes, then you can effectively ask the questions in a sequence. When do you close early and often? You close by asking trial closing questions early in the conversation. Have you ever considered owning your own business? That's a trial closing question. Are you health or image conscious? That's a trial closing question. You're using these questions to bridge the gap for the question that you're eventually going to ask. Are you ready to get started? Are you ready to join? Are you in a position to take advantage of our products and services? Are you in a position to hire me today to be your success coach? That is a closing question. Some of the other questions that you ask up front are trial closing questions. Are you serious about starting a business from your home? That's a trial closing question. Are you serious about hiring a coach? That's a trial closing question. Well, I am financially challenged, and I saw that you had an email online for free 15-minute coaching, so I'm reaching out. So that person telegraphed that they're as broke as a joke, don't have any money, and probably won't find the startup capital to buy, hire, join, or get started with you because of the way they telegraphed their answer. And the more you understand how to read a situation for what it is, and you practice intuition, street sense, and most importantly, you begin to trust your feelings, then you will be overwhelmed less, you'll be less anxious, won't be concerned about being abandoned and or rejected. Let's address the word rejection. R-E-J-E-C-T-I-O-N. Do people reject you? No. When someone tells you they are not interested, they're not telling you no, they're telling you they're not interested. When someone lets you know that they'll get back with you, they're not rejecting you, they're blowing you off. When someone says to you, I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to run this by my husband, my wife, my significant other, the blow-up doll in the closet, someone down the street, they're delaying the commitment. Now, legitimately, should they talk to their significant other if that's what they require to make a decision? It's totally up to them. But you also have to hear what's meant and not what's said, and in a moment be able to differentiate between a fact and a qualified lie. You have to be able to differentiate between that, between fact and fiction, and you have to do that by trusting your feelings based on repetition and experience, doing the same thing over and over, becoming a master at the mastery of closing. Closers close because they close. Closers close because they're competitive. Closers close because it's their identity. And closers close because they get paid. This is one of the situations you have to be comfortable with. If your dialogue with money is not conducive to attracting the people you can create and collaborate with to create prosperity and reciprocity, then you will telepathically send a mixed message, specifically that you do not deserve it, deserve. You will come from a very low vibrational energy of anxiety, of fear, and of doubt. Now, if you telegraph your feelings, so I doubt that I'm good enough, I fear that I can't lead you, and I have anxiety about the outcome. If you come from those energetic vibrations, then you are sending a mixed message. You are virtually stating, please join me, but don't, because I'm not sure I can pull it off. Please take a look at my business model. I know you probably won't see the value in me. You might see the business model, but you'll probably sign up with someone else. Go ahead and let's get this over with quickly. Go ahead and take a look at this business. I'm very uncomfortable with who I am. You have no idea what I'm going through. I have no money. I'm broke as a joke. I live in broke thoughts. You probably won't get started with me. Let's go ahead and end this conversation. That's the mixed message that you telepathically send based on your own insecurities, your low self-esteem, your lack of confidence, competence, and the events that shape those feelings. On any given Sunday, that's the NFL, but on any given Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you have the ability, because the pain is great enough, to let go. If you've lied on that nail and you're bleeding, you don't have to bleed to death. You can get up off the nail. You can heal. You can join free enterprise. You can take products and services that will unequivocally change your health, change your vanity, change your image. You can absolutely join a business model where you can be mentored, model yourself after other successful free enterprise, free thought, inspirational speakers, coaches, and mentors. You can join that kind of culture where you can model yourself other successful people in a relatively short period of time, 90 days, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. You can become a six, multiple six, and potentially even a seven-figure income earner from the comfort of your home with no employees, very low overhead, using a computer, a cell phone, a landline, social media, without having a lot of overhead, without having to pay payroll tax, without having to rent a property, have a lease, or any of the other moving parts that will overwhelm you. When you let go of your control, your anxiety, you actually are ready to succeed, and you come from, I deserve it, I'm good enough, I am capable, I am comfortable, I am the leader you are looking for. When you're no longer anxious about the outcome, then you become power. As you begin to be in power, then you'll be able to close sales. But when you live in force, you try and force yourself to do something, then you will attract a counterforce to fulfill your disappointment. When you're forcing yourself into a situation where you're extremely uncomfortable, when you're overwhelmed about the outcome, then you're coming from force. You're trying to force yourself to do something you've told yourself a story about. In force, you create a mixed message. This is when you attract someone to fulfill feeling violated, disappointed, abandoned, and rejected, meaning you'll attract a counterforce to fulfill your feelings of disappointment. As you begin to let go, and how do I let go? How do I? Letting go is not a how do I. Letting go is a decision. Letting go is a commitment. Letting go is a feeling. Letting go is an action. Letting go is now. You let go by letting go. You don't let go by holding on. You don't let go by I don't know how to hold on. You do know how to let go, and you let go by letting go. Letting go is not a situation you figure out. Letting go is a decision. It's a commitment right now. Letting go is not a how-to. Letting go is who I am. I am letting go. When you let go, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that you hold on to. When you're holding on to an event either consciously, subliminally, or unconsciously, you virtually are giving power to the violators, perpetrators, and people who created the identity that you are living in. And if you're a starter, not a finisher, you cannot be a closer. To be a closer, learn to make your bed in the morning. It's the first action you do out of bed. If you get up in the morning, I know this sounds preposterous, you may think this is a little off the wall, but if you get up in the morning and you do not make your bed, then you haven't finished the very first action that you could finish. If you decide to rebel against brushing your teeth, if you sit in your pajamas most of the day, you're going to get around to getting around to getting around. You never get around to getting around because you're overwhelmed getting ready to get ready. Then you can't possibly be a closer. Being a closer is attractive. Being a closer has attractive energy. Being a closer has attractor factor energy. Being a closer is sexy. Being a closer has sex appeal. Being a closer emits and transmutes sexuality because it has power, and that kind of power does not require force to create a counterforce. When you live in power, then you're not separate from the event. When you understand what equanimity is, means there's no separation between the outcome, then you can virtually create from two places in one time. What does that mean? It means you have a vision of the future, and you're already creating that vision right here, right now. It means there's no separation between you and the outcome. When you have expectations that are favorable and empower you, then you can go to any restaurant USA, and there will be a parking spot for you. You can go to any mall USA, and there will either be someone to valet your car, or there will be a spot for you right up front. By the way, valets work as well as parking spots. If you ever go to a restaurant that doesn't have a valet, then you better be skilled at attracting a spot right in front. If you ever go to South Philly and dine with my homie Joe DiBianca, and you want to dine with us at Dante and Luigi's, then you better have some pull, or you better know the car parker, or there's a parking space going to be for you. I've driven in Ubers before with people who say, oh my God, I park in parking spaces, that I get my car towed, it's worth it. I mean, how can getting your car towed worth it? I get a ticket. How can getting a ticket be worth it? I mean, I understand. But if you believe you're going to find that parking space, then you won't be driving around for an hour and a half like a lot of people do, because there's no separation between you and the outcome. This isn't magical. This isn't mythical. This is science. And the science of expectation means you expect in the law of expectation to create a favorable result by the vision that you have of the outcome in a practical application, knowing that you know. And when you stop doubting what you know, then you will know that you know. But if you doubt what you know, then you'll be uncertain, in doubt, overwhelmed, anxious, and you'll have challenges closing. Because you're trying to control the outcome, and what you end up controlling is the outcome of being disappointed. Closing sales, you know the outcome, you don't control it. There's a big difference between knowing and controlling. Now I'll break this down for you. A large percent of emotional addicts are in control. They end up controlling their control, being out of control, of the anxieties they control. They control being angry. They control being overwhelmed. They control being rejected. I don't like rejected. I don't like rejection. So rather than be rejected, I'm going to stay here and reject myself so I can be disappointed, not engage in the action, allow me to be successful. I'll avoid failing to stay disappointed, and what I control is my disappointment. That's what control is. An addict always wants a little more. An addict creates a neurochemical response that creates a high high that creates a low crash. And so when an addict indulges in whatever they're addicted to, it gives them a sense of instant gratification, which gives them an adrenaline rush, a steroid rush, which eventually becomes cortisol, the high high, which then drops to the bottom of the basement, the low. But your body gets a sensation of that high when you indulge in a piece of pizza and you go, ah. Or you take a double shot of Crown with more color, or you like vodka because you tell yourself, well, I can drink vodka, no one can smell it. That's ridiculous. Everyone can smell vodka because it's on your breath. Not only is it on your breath, but it comes out of your pores, and if you're a chronic alcoholic, you sweat it out of your pores, you sweat it specifically out of your forehead, out of your armpits, and out of your low back. I guarantee you, we can smell it. And when you come from that kind of, when you've been violated, well, that kind of violation, it also creates a different kind of sweat that's easily detected by people who are in recovery. And the more you let go of the control that keeps you out of control, the more you can be here, be now, be present, and you'll be able to ask questions that lead to the outcome that you seek. The outcome you're seeking is favorable. That's what you're looking for, a favorable result. You're looking for a win-win situation. You're looking for someone who sees the value. You're looking for someone who's looking for the service. You're looking for someone who sees the benefit and the feature, who can actually derive a result from what you are marketing, selling, or promoting. And you must be skilled at marketing, sales, and promotion, persuasion, communication, the ability to connect, ask the questions in a sequence, and most importantly, close the transaction. Closing represents the end of an era, the new beginning, meaning you close the transaction, now you have a relationship that you can potentially create. But if you have a story about that relationship, well, I'm not sure if I can lead them, I haven't made any money, so I can't possibly communicate, talk to, present to this person because of my low self-esteem, my broke thoughts, my overwhelmed state. And if that's your story, then you rob people of opportunities because of your own low self-esteem. When you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control, then once again, you're no longer that mind-body connection that keeps you feeling rejected. No one rejects you. I'm going to break this down, and here's what it means. People do not reject you. When they tell you that they're not interested, they're not rejecting you, they're informing you they aren't interested. When they let you know that they're going to get back to you, typically what they mean is they're never going to get back to you. But when you ask them, when you be getting back to me, and they check out and don't it, now you've effectively called the bluff. When you've called the bluff, there's a high probability you can either schedule the appointment in a much more relaxed state, or you can let the person go. When someone says to you they have to run it by their wife, spouse, significant other, sometimes they actually do that, but you want to be able to ask them another question. Does your wife, significant other, friend, person you're going to reference, support you as a business owner? You want to be able to find these questions out. You have to let go of your anxiety about getting in trouble, prying in someone's affairs, making a mistake, being judged. I'm worried about what my friends are going to think. Once again, who are your friends? Name one person that you're worried about. What do they do for a career? Are they prosperous? Do they own a business? Have they ever been in free enterprise? The answer is typically no. They usually have a mortgage where they're upside down. They have student loan debt, and they have an American Express card that's 28% interest. Believe it or not, that's typically what American Express does, is they have a sliding scale that slides their card up to about 28%. You don't even know it because you aren't financially literate yet. But after this call, you're going to step into your power. Power, in power, there is no separation. When you are in your power, when you are powerful, it's not a physical power. It's an emotional, spiritual, etheric energy that has great attractor factor. As you are in power, there's no separation between you and the outcome. Now, that kind of energy allows you to sit down at your desk, ass in the chair, and systematically, one by one, call a series of leads to qualify them for an outcome that will be favorable for them and you. When you can create this kind of win-win dialogue with you and your right brain, you'll let go of the anxiety you have in your left brain that creates the lose-lose dialogue of I'm not good enough. Your right brain is where you see colors, pictures. It's where you're innovative and creative. And in your innovation and creativity, as you become skilled at asking the questions. This is where you learn to use your intuition in a conversation. This is the know factor. When you know that you know, then you'll no longer doubt what you know, and then you'll live in a know. And when you're in a no, there's no doubt, there's no uncertainty, and you're sure. And rather than being unsure, overwhelmed, in an emotionally addicted state, you're here, you're now, creating results that you seek, whether it comes from this call, that call, this situation, that situation, because you know in your law of average, you know that you're going to find someone who deserves to have what you have. You know that you're going to find someone who's looking for the benefit and the feature that you're marketing. And you know that no matter what happens, you're going to have your share of victories. It doesn't always show up in instant gratification, but when you're good, you'll have your share of victories and you'll have favorable outcomes that lead to the results that you seek to create the transactions. Closing in a sequence. When you learn to ask the questions in a sequence, closing becomes academic. When you're a closer, closing is inevitable. When you're a closer, you know when and how to ask. It's not a how-to. It becomes intuitional. When you call someone back that's viewed a presentation, that wants to do a 15-minute coaching call with you, or any multitude of situations, you'll close when it's appropriate. You close when the person has received enough content that they feel the value. And you learn to set the close up. Have you received enough value that you feel comfortable in joining our team? Have you received enough value you feel comfortable in making a decision? Have you received enough value you feel comfortable in hiring me to be your coach? Have you received enough valuable? Have you received enough value that you feel like creating a purchase today? Any multitude of questions that are commitment conscious, not commitment phobic. But when you're umming and awing, I hope you really see what we have here. Why don't we set a follow-up call and I'll call you in a few days. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They follow up and they leave messages and they stalk and chase and beg. And then if they're unfortunate enough to drag that person into the business, that person is going to do exactly what you did, a lot of following up, a lot of begging, a lot of cajoling, and a lot of convincing. And there's no wonder that this person typically does not stay in the business. Following up is a skill, but the fortune is not always in the follow-up. The fortune is in trusting your intuition and establishing, do I have a legitimate qualified buyer, or do I have someone who's a non-qualified buyer? A qualified buyer is someone who sees the benefits, features, and value, and they actually look for what you have. A non-qualified buyer is someone who wants to get in the ring with you. They want to prove you wrong. They're a flaw finder. They ask you question after question. And what's wrong with this is you answer them. You want to get out of this conversation as soon as possible, redirect this person to a video, a website, a webinar, where they can evaluate the situation on their terms and their time frame, so you're not standing there flat-footed answering a lot of analytical questions while this person is looking for a way to trip you up, find the flaw, overwhelm you, disappoint you so you can feel rejected. This just does not ever get a favorable result. When people try to do this to me, I reframe the situation by asking them a question. I answer their question with a question, ask them how serious they are, and if they're that serious, here's a website you can review. You like what you see, feel free to get back with me. Do not do hour-long three-way calls. It's so inappropriate. If you do an hour-long three-way call with your upline, crossline, overline, bottom line, top shelf, bottom shelf, shelf of your shelves, whoever you're doing a three-way call with, and they can't close a sale in a relatively short period of time, then this is very ineffective. If you did a three-way call with me, it would go like this. You would introduce me as your mentor, your upline, your sponsor, whatever it is I am in your culture, that's what I would be. I am specifically there to close the sale for you. I may give a testimony, might not be mine, because I typically never make it about what I've done, who I am. Do you have any idea who I am? It's not I, it's about you. When you create the business about them and it's not you, now if you ask me to give a testimony, I'll give a realistic testimony that perhaps would be believable for your prospect, but if you call me to do a three-way call with me, you'll edify me, I'll re-edify you, you'll tell me a little bit about your prospect, and then I'll ask the prospect if they reviewed the presentation. If you bring me someone who hasn't reviewed a presentation, I am not pitching the deal. That's not what I'm there for. I'm not going to pitch the deal. I want you to bring me someone who has a pulse, can fog a mirror up, who actually has a few dreams, who's serious about their transformation, who is health conscious, any multitude of situations that allow me to market the benefit, the feature, the product, the service, and the dream. So when you bring me that person, I'm going to find out a little bit about the person. I'm going to ask them a couple of simple questions. Where are you from? What do you do? How serious are you about starting a business using our products, benefits, and features? I start closing right in the first couple questions. How serious are you about joining our team, using our products and services? Well, I'm uncertain. I can appreciate that. What are you uncertain about? So I'm going to take the word uncertain, ask a question, find out where they are. Well, I'm not really sold on this. What would allow you to feel sold? I mean, I'm going to just keep reframing the question. You take a word, package it in a statement, end it with a question. This is how you lead the conversation. Well, I've been in these things before. What is a thing? You know, presume I don't, what's a thing? I want to get my question answered. Well, a thing is one of them there multi-level MLMs. No, we're not at M&Ms. We're not chocolate and peanut. We're the network marketing direct sales industry. Are you serious about starting a business in our industry? I mean, I will actually ask these questions very diplomatic. I'll hang right there in the middle of it. And if I don't feel a favorable result coming, I will diplomatically exit the strategy. Remember that exit stage left? Well, whatever, however you want to exit, left or right. But I diplomatically move out of a conversation, will redirect the energy to where this person can go out and do their research, and if they like what they see, they can get back with this. I also will take my teammate by the shirt collar through the phone, hold them right there so they don't stay on the phone, and then go talk to this person for another hour that never gets a result. Some of you are laughing because you've either done it or you've seen your teammates do it, but that's what I do. I will hold my teammate hostage so I can educate them not to go back there and get in another drunkalogue with someone who's emotionally drunk, intoxicated about being average. You are looking for a few exceptional people who want to change the quality of their health, their wealth, their spirit, their finance, their emotions. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my unequivocal privilege and pleasure to be your host with the most tonight on the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. This call has officially been recorded. It will be available for playback tomorrow morning, Pacific time, 9 a.m. PST, 12 p.m. EST, Eastern Standard. Now, this Saturday, I will be in beautiful, Newark, New Jersey, at the Marriott Airport Newark Hotel with Dr. Joe Dispenza, Alexis Romano, and a whole host of my clients, friends, homeboys and homegirls, exceptional entrepreneurs, people in free enterprise, spreading great cheer, joy, love, and bliss. I look forward to connecting with you. Those of you who will be at the event Saturday, I definitely want to take a picture with you so we can share it on a Facebook memory, Instagram, wherever you want to share it. Thank you very much for being on tonight's call. This call is officially a call. Have a great evening.